Good morning. Happy Friday. I know they're always welcome. As a staff sponsor for the fundraising committee for our upcoming missions conference, I'd like to begin this morning with a commercial. In fact, my friend Cedric and Allie say it much better than I can, so let's watch.
ABC tag returns? Forget it.
It's back, y'all.
For our freshmen and our new staff members, yes, that is Sledge, Cedric Bowser, resident student here at Appalachian Bible College. ABC tag, more details will be forthcoming. Just want to give you that warning and that encouragement as we prepare for missions conference. I know most of us enjoy taking pictures. In fact, you know what? This is a great morning just to go ahead and say, cheese. Great, good, good. I was going to say, Warren, I see your smile, but Warren, I don't see you. Okay, sorry. He just played an orchestra and stepped out. I know if we were to have a moment where we take a picture, take a snapshot. That's why, Warren. Thank you. I was looking for you being in the middle section, but hey, it didn't happen, did it? As we take pictures, we have a snapshot, just a moment in time. I'd like to ask you this morning, if we were to take a snapshot of a happy person, what would we see? What would that look like? Well, I have something better than just a photo, just a picture. I have a little brief video clip to cause us to think about, what does happy look like?
And do you know your blood type?
A or B positive.
Have you eaten today?
I had some Lebanese food for lunch.
I love the Lebanese.
I'm not
Enough
sure
with the formalities. Let's get started, shall we?
Jimmy, how happy are folks who save hundreds of dollars switching to Geico? Happier than Dracula volunteering at a blood drive.
We have cookies.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 50% or more.
By the way, I was asked to make this announcement. On ABC campus on Tuesday, October 8th from 10 to 4, we will have our blood drive. And if you choose to eat Lebanese for lunch that day, you will make somebody happy. If you don't get it, don't worry about it. Now, maybe for some of you today, and you're like, okay, so happy I'm not here selling Geico insurance. I'm not here trying to say you got to have a vampire. But maybe for some of you, it's Phil Robertson. It's happy, 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 if you want a picture of happy. Well, what I'd like to challenge us to do is taking a picture, taking a characteristic of someone, as we're going to see, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26, I'd like to submit to you today, a loving servant is obedient. Now, a loving servant is other things as well, But this picture, this snapshot, this moment in time I'm going to take for us to examine from Matthew 26 is a loving servant is obedient. Now, as I like to summarize the chapter as you're turning there, just as an overview, in the first five verses, the Jesus haters, the religious leaders, we'll use in quotation marks, agree to slay Jesus. And then verses 6 through 13, Jesus accepts worship from this Bethany woman that comes and obviously washes his feet with her tears. And then we see Judas activates this betrayal plot that the Jesus haters in the first few verses looked at in verses 14 through 16. And then as we consider verses 17 through 30, Jesus administers the Passover meal. He shares with the disciples. And then where we actually have our attention today, Jesus' disciples announce their liberty, their loyalty. They're like, Lord, we will die for you. And from there, as they go into the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus agonizes in prayer, verses 36 through 46. We have moments of just delayed. And then Jesus arrested, the disciples flee. So even though a few verses earlier, Lord, we'll die with you, they run, verses 47 through 56. And then toward the end of the chapter, Jesus appears before the Sanhedrin in verses 57 through 66. And then as we consider our last one, 68, Jesus abandoned, he is denied by Peter. Now, for those thinking, we're going to go through 75 verses this morning, no. Our focus are in verses 36, by now you've had an opportunity to get there, verses 36 through, if you'll follow along with me, through 46 that I'd like to read for us. Then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. So what I'd like for us to consider several thoughts as we look at these 10 verses. First of all, Jesus and his disciples traveled to the garden for prayer. It's interesting to note, as it tells us, Jesus goes with his disciples. And I remind us, no Judas. Judas left during the meal, and he's going to betray him. So here are the 11 disciples. And clearly we have the sense that Jesus must have gone here often with his disciples. Judas knew where he was, even though he wasn't with him at that moment. He knew. And just as a moment for an application, I trust you have a familiar place that you pray. Scripture talks about having a prayer closet. You don't literally have to take your wardrobe and put a sign above it that says prayer closet. Tell your roomie, stay out of my prayer closet. I had a roommate once when I was a student. I understand. But you need somewhere, some place to get alone with the Lord. The disciples were familiar with this. But notice in verse 37, Jesus takes his inner circle of three a little further. Peter, James, and John. And it also tells us, at this moment, he begins to feel something. Verse 37, he's going to verbalize it in the next verse. But he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. It's interesting, this word, this verb, as we have weighed down, can literally mean being troubled, being depressed. And as I studied that, I thought, come on, the Lord can't be depressed. Depression is a clinical state. Why would he do that? But the more as I looked and examined this passage, why would he feel that way? We'll see that here in the next verse, I believe. He appeals to the three disciples to be alert with him. As in verse 38, then saith he to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. So he began to feel it in verse 37, and now he's verbalizing it to them. This could be understood that he is saying, I am almost dying of sorrow. It is so heavy. Why would Jesus say that? Just feeling this even unto death. Why so sorrowful? Several possibilities I'd like to share this morning. I'm not saying I have the answer, but some possibilities. Could he be thinking of his coming, taking our punishment for sin? As 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, for he, the Father, hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Maybe Jesus is thinking, soon I'm going to be taking the sins of the world. It's just hours away from him. A second possibility, maybe he's anticipating the physical suffering that he is going to encounter. Isaiah 53 is pretty vivid. And I'll just take one phrase. His visage was marred more than any man. Jesus went through a lot of physical suffering. And honestly, I don't think we can really appreciate the intensity of all that he went through physically. A third possibility, the one that I think, again, my opinion, you can have yours. My thought is, he is reflecting on being separated from the Father. From eternity past, the intimacy of the Godhead being there right, as best we can humanly grasp, right there beside each other. And I know it's difficult to fully comprehend the Trinity, but from eternity past, they'd never been separate. Jesus couldn't help but think, oh, my Father in chapter 26. We know when he gets to chapter 27, the next chapter during the crucifixion, verse 46. What was, oh, my Father, becomes, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's because he took my sin. He took your sin. And possibly other thoughts that Jesus had. But I bring this to your attention. Exceeding sorrowful, even unto death, at this moment, this intense moment of feeling this sorrow. What does he ask for the disciples? He just said, you know what, fellas? Why don't you tarry with me? Why don't you just stay right here? Tarry ye with me and watch with me. Now, what's interesting is, look, same verb from John 15:4, a verse we'd recognize very quickly. Abide in me. And we're like, yeah, that's the passage when Jesus talked about the vine and the branches, and it is. In fact, verse 4 is, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. So just hours earlier, Jesus is saying, fellas, you got to stay connected. And I know we're thinking, well, about salvation, once we trust the Lord, we're already connected. We're a branch to the vine. We are, truly. But as those branches, we can resist and say, God, I'm not going to listen to what you want. No wonder in that passage, Jesus talked about pruning may be necessary or purging. But just hours before, he's saying abide. And here we come to now in chapter 26. And he's just saying, tarry here, abide with me. I'll want your company. He's asking them to stay engaged, to watch with him, as we'll see in just a moment. So again, for application, do we consciously think, Lord, I want to abide with you, I want to stay connected? Again, literally, we believe from Scripture, as a branch, we are connected to the vine once we trust Christ. We can't break ourselves off, run over here, and then come back and reconnect. He's attached himself to us. But all of us have those moments where like, you know, I'm not going to listen. Lord, I don't really care to do what you're asking me to do. And we want to be careful not quenching the Holy Spirit. But in these moments, as Jesus is saying, I want you to abide, the same for us. We need to consciously think of, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to stay close to you. I want to enjoy the intimacy, the fellowship. And then as he expresses, watch with me. I want you to be alert. I want you to stay focused. I thought of a song that came to mind as I prepared for today, and I'd like to go through the verses of those, and at this moment I choose to use the first verse, written by John H. Sammis, lyrics by Daniel B. Towner. The words from Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides, there's the word, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. I'll admit, as a teenager, as I heard this song, I used to think of, man, this is doing a free will Baptist thing. This is saying I got to work to keep my salvation. But I don't think that now. At the time, probably I just didn't understand. You know, you got to keep walking, got to keep to be saved. But he's talking about to abide, to stay connected, to be conscious of that connection, to abide. Then verse 39, let's notice, Jesus communes with the Father alone. I'm already hinting to just the intimate, oh my Father. And then notice this figure of speech that he uses. Let this cup, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, Jesus is not talking about a physical cup, but it's a metaphor that one's lot or one's experience. And he's saying, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass. I don't want to partake. Let this cup pass for me if it's possible. But it's almost like before he can even finish the sentence, he is saying, and that's where I'm expressing it as submission, that he says, nevertheless, not my will, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Lord, I submit, Father, I submit to your leadership. I submit myself to be obedient to you as you wish. Nevertheless. In reality, some things we have to do alone. And if you think about the progression, we had the 11 disciples. We have the three. And now Jesus is alone. But you know, he's not really alone. He's with the Father. And just as we're promised in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Father is there. The Son is there. But in this moment, when Jesus is alone, that the disciples are not with him. Again, I submit to you in this communion with the Father, oh my Father, very intimate. If it's possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, yet, I submit, I will do what you ask me to do. Your will be done. And then notice what happens. The next verse is, Jesus returns to find the sleeping disciples in verses 40 and 41. And he asks them, could you not watch? Could you not be aware with me just 1 hour? Now, I know that normally the disciples are given a hard way to go about drifting off to sleep. And when you're driving, you want to stay awake. You do not, at that moment, want to sleep. In chapel, we want to remain awake, okay? Alert. But we all get weary, and as much as people criticize, and I know Peter gets criticism for his saying, Lord, if that's really you, invite me, and I'll come out and I'll walk on the water. And we're like, yeah, big mouth Peter, look at him, he's out there. Are the other 11 walking on water with him? Now, I know everybody's not wired to be saying, hey, I want to walk on the waves, man, a wave walker. Everybody else is like, I'll just stay back in the boat, okay? I'll just watch from here, all right? But the reality, he did step out there just like these three. And again, obviously, they need to be alert. They need to be awake. But I'm just encouraging, don't criticize them too hard. Yes, they need to watch and pray. And that's why Jesus encourages them. Be aware. I want you to watch and pray. I want you to focus so you don't lapse from faith and holiness. I want you to be alert. Because in a moment, he's going to talk about the temptation. In fact, he says, enter not into temptation. Don't go down the path to destruction. In Proverbs 4, Solomon captured for his sons, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass the way. If you know this is where the wicked are going to be, Solomon said, avoid it. Don't even go that way. Go a different. Go an alternate route. Don't go down that path. I say that, enter not into temptation. The best way to avoid it is don't go down that path. Don't go there. Realize, as Jesus is telling them, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit, the power by which a human being feels, thinks, wills, and decides, his soul. But the flesh, the nature with cravings, which incite to sin, is weak, it's feeble, it's infirm. So what are we to do since we know the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak? As we're encouraged in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. Again, it's being aware of that connection, abiding. So the second verse of not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. In verse 42, we see the next section of Jesus returning to appeal further to the Father. I believe there's a progression here. If you'll notice with me, back in verse 39, when he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Let this experience. But notice what he says in verse 42. Oh, my Father, again, the intimate, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it. Now, he still has in common, thy will be done. He's still focused on being obedient. But I submit to you, I believe this is a little different. He before is saying, if it's possible, just let this cup pass. I'll pass it on to the next one. But here he's saying, Father, I know as this cup is coming, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, I know this cup is coming, this experience. Thy will be done. And if I were putting my own words, Father, if this cup, if this experience is coming, I will drink it to accomplish your will. The reason I alluded to Proverbs 4:14 earlier about not going down the path of the wicked, Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. And I know in our lives it's not a fair comparison to say, well, Jesus knows everything. I don't know everything. I know that. But he was still obedient, even though he knew what was facing him, hours away. He was still obedient. He's there communing with the Father and saying, yes, sir, thy will be done. What does the Lord expect of us? And say, well, I don't know the path. I don't know where the Lord's leading. I get that. But yet, we're to be obedient. He calls us to this obedience. Another children's song comes to mind, very appropriate. And if Dr. Carfrey were up here, he would be singing this, but I'll just reference. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Looking at verse 43, Jesus again returns to the sleeping disciples. Their eyes were heavy, as the passage tells us. They were way down with sleep. Now, I know some of you are like, dude, it's time to go get a monster. It's time to go get the double espresso. I'm good. I can handle this. Well, that apparently was not available for them at that time. And yes, they should have been alert, awake on their own. But as Jesus comes back, they're resting. Their eyes are heavy. We see that he returns to be with the Father for the third time, verse 44. Matthew doesn't record that the words are any differently. He left them, he went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words, the focus of thy will be done. The third verse, not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. I know it's not easy today to contemplate if you got some bad news from a family member that was deathly sick, that you would say, yeah, I'm eager to say, nevertheless, thy will be done. I know it's not easy, but that is what he's calling us to do, to be obedient, to submit, to say, yes, sir, Father. Then our last section we're going to look at is Jesus returns to the disciples, verses 45 and 46. And he encourages them to be awake and to be ready. You know, at first it's like, is he contradicting himself? When Jesus returned, at first he said, sleep on now and take your rest. Cease from labor in order to recover and collect your strength. Then he says, this definite point of time has come. Behold, the hour is at hand, this defined moment for the betrayer. We're ready to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. But clearly now, this is where his attention is. Rise. I want you to wake up. Be alert. Let us be going. The betrayer has come nigh to betray me. You know, again, putting in our words, on your feet, soldier. There is a cause. There is a reason we can stand and face what is coming. We are on the victory side. And for our final verse of trust and obey, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet or will walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. In the course I've purposefully held till now. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. To be happy, you want to be a happy? I know it's a loving servant, but you want to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey, to realize the connection, to abide. So for my final so what moment, I know this is part of your chapel journal. We'll try to help you. Here are two suggestions. You may already have four written down. Good. The first suggestion I have, to tarry, abide, stay connected, be aware of that intimacy, staying connected to him. Again, we're the branch, he's the vine. But what does that look like in your life? What is it today that you say, okay, all right, Holy Spirit, it's not about me. If he's nailed you to say, here's an area you need to trust me and be aware of the connection with me. My second suggestion, a loving servant is also an obedient servant, even though Jesus knew exactly what would happen. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Will we do the same today? Even though we don't know what's going to happen and Jesus did, yes, sir, thy will be done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you as we've looked at the passage today to consider how the Lord Jesus interacted with the disciples. Thank you that he interceded for us. No doubt, he's reflecting on being separated from you after enjoying the intimacy of eternity past to that present. Lord, it's been part of my heart. Thank you for stirring in my life and heart in preparation for this. Just as you were obedient unto death, even as Mr. Gonzalez prayed earlier, even the death of the cross in Philippians 2:8, Lord Jesus, you have shown us the pattern of being a loving servant in your obedience. May we just as eagerly as the children's song we reviewed today, do it happily, immediately. We know your joy will receive. Meet the needs of the hour, Lord. May we not just walk away and say, okay, I'm done, time for lunch. Lord, if we need to do business with you, may we respond as that pliable clay. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.